Hey, everybody. Whitney and I hope that you will enjoy this very special episode of True Sex and Wild Love about abortion. Abortion without apology. Abortion without pandering. Abortion without regrets. We talk about Roe v. Wade, recent legislation that attempts to make an end run around it and restrict women's access to abortion, and the recent surprise Supreme Court ruling that protected Roe v. Wade. In part of this podcast, we get really personal about our own sexual histories and reproductive choices, and we put that behind closed doors. So have a listen to the first 10 or 15 minutes, and if you want to hear more, and you're not already a subscriber to Behind Closed Doors, get it, because that's where all the juicy content lives. And let us know what you think.
All right, guys, there's been a whole lot going on in our world today. I mean, we have a worldwide pandemic going on. I mean, I'm in Texas, so It's getting even crazier here. Everything's starting to shut back down, which I figured that we, you know, expected.
Texas, you're doing a shitty job. Wear your masks.
Oh, my God. I know.
You know what? California also doing a shitty job. Did you have to go to the beaches on Memorial Day weekend? Look what you did. Hey, Arizona, get your shit together. Put on a mask. Stand 6 feet apart. It's called science. It'll save your life.
Pull it together, people. Yeah, so we have all of this going on. We have these protests going on. And there's a lot of new laws and bills that are coming up out of freaking nowhere, at least it seems like to me. And I just don't know what to think about it. So, Wednesday, help me out here. Can you tell me what's going on with this Louisiana abortion law? What's happening with Roe versus Wade? Yeah, what happened in Tennessee?
We were talking about this, right? So there was this unexpected 5-4 decision on the Supreme Court. They struck down this 2014 Louisiana law that basically attempted to block women's access to abortions. And the way that they had done it in this sneaky Louisiana law was they had done something that seemed reasonable. They mandated that any doctor who was performing an abortion would have to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals, right?
Okay, so what does that mean exactly, okay. Admitting privileges?
So it just means that if a doctor is performing an abortion at a facility that provides abortions, say Planned Parenthood, they would have to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. And some people might say, oh, well, that's reasonable. What if there's an emergency and that doctor would have to admit the woman? That's not what it was about at all, because people who try to restrict women's access to abortion don't care about women's health. So what it was really about was just making it harder for doctors to provide abortions. If that law had stood, there basically would have been a single abortion clinic left in the state of Louisiana, right? So this decision was before the Supreme Court. And I don't know about you, Whitney, but I thought this Supreme Court is not going to uphold a woman's right to abortion. Right. But Chief Justice John Roberts, he surprised everybody and he voted with the court's liberal justices. And he rejected a legal argument that President Trump and conservative Republicans were making. Okay, so the majority decision in this case was written by Justice Stephen Breyer and joined by three of his liberal colleagues. And then Roberts wrote a concurring opinion. And Roberts basically said, look, there's a precedent and it's called Roe, and I'm gonna make my ruling based on precedent. Now, people got super excited. I don't know about you, Whitney, but I felt very like pumped up about that. Mm-hmm. But Mary Ziegler, who is a law professor at Florida State University, has written a book. It's called Abortion and the Law in America, Roe v. Wade to the Present. It's sort of a review of abortion law since 1973. And she basically said in an article from The New Yorker that I've been picking some facts from by Isaac Schottner. So what the legal scholar Mary Ziegler says is, don't be so excited that Justice Roberts was the swing vote here and basically ensured some continued protections for Roe. She said, this is way too limited for us to be excited about. And Justice Roberts, basically, you know, we can't, with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the court, we can't count on Justice Roberts to continue to protect Roe v. Wade and women's right to abortion. And she's basically saying, you know, don't get too excited about this. That it, in her words, if Roberts can stay save face and still undo abortion rights, she says he will probably do that. So we were excited about it in my house because we are pro reproductive justice and pro choice. And so, you know, it's interesting to think this through because we have been, you know, Roe has basically, since it first, you know, since the Supreme Court first decided in 1973 that a woman's right to choose was protected by the 14th Amendment, Roe has been under fire constantly. I mean, you live in Texas, right? What were the discussions around abortion when you were growing up?
Yeah, that it was that it was terrible. That you shouldn't do it. And you know, at my high school, we had a daycare for children, or for the students that went there for their children, which is great. You know, that is a form of support. But we're also talking about abstinence, and yet we have a very high rate of teen pregnancy, and we're not talking about the other options that we have. One of them being abortion. It just wasn't really talked about. And if it was, you were seen as basically a terrible human being for thinking that way. And and it's sad to me because I do feel as though, and I've had a lot of friends, I've had people very, very close to me who have all had abortions. I have never been pregnant. I haven't had an abortion, but I do absolutely love that I have the option, that I get to choose what I do with my body and when I do that with my body, and I get to choose what I want for my life, you know, like I could not imagine having a child even 5 years ago or 8 years ago. Even now, it's a little like, whoa, my life would completely change.
Yeah.
And would I be willing, am I ready for that step? Because I want to be able to show up in the best possible way that I can. And so being able to have that choice for me is uber important. And I know it was uber important for a lot of people. But yeah, growing up in South Texas, absolutely not. You're a terrible human being. And you would be basically socially, you know, ostracized and pointed at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Grand Rapids, Michigan, it was very similar. I remember that a girl in my high school was sexually active, and we found that fascinating, and we were judgmental about it. And then she ended up having an abortion, and we were fascinated and judgmental. But to her credit, she opened up my eyes and helped me understand one of the lessons that I learned, you know, having a feminist mom, which was, I mean, I remember when Roe v. Wade became the law of the land, and I remember what it meant to women that they could be in charge of their reproductive destiny. And it was a fight, just like having access to birth control was a fight that unmarried women didn't earn until relatively recently, historically, right? First, it was okay for married women to have access to birth control, but unmarried women didn't have access to birth control until, I believe, the late 60s or early 70s. We can put it in the show notes. Anyway, it was huge news in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I remember how it divided my community and many of the Catholic people in the neighborhood where I grew up. Were very upset about it. And I remember just my mother, just her delight, you know, that we had turned this corner and that women had access to, you know, a way to have one more way to control their own reproduction. Because, okay, now let's personalize this. I mean, I have had three abortions. once when I was in graduate school and I was way too young to have a kid. Another time, you know, maybe 10 years later, when it was still not the right time in my life to have a kid, and birth control failed me. And then the third time, I was into my 6th month of pregnancy, and the baby, because I thought of her as a baby because I planned to keep her, died. I had I heard different reasons about why. One was that I had had a subclinical infection and that the baby died from that. Another was that I had an incompetent cervix, which is such a weird term. And the or maybe it was both of those things, right? So mm-hmm. at that point in my reproductive career, which had spanned, you know, my first abortion in my early 20s to at this point, I was maybe when I lost Daphne, I think I was 45.
Daphne, was that her name?
Yeah, that was.
I love that.
Was gonna be the baby's name. I know. And sometimes I call her dead Daphne. Because I try to like bring her into my language and remember her and stuff. So I had a very long reproductive career, right? From age 22, maybe when I had my first abortion, to age 44, when my choice was, they said, this baby is dying. Do you want us to induce labor and you go through labor, which I had been through twice before, and at the end you will expel a dead fetus rather than a live baby, or do you want a surgical procedure? And the surgical procedure was maybe a little tricky and a little bit in a gray zone.
Mm-hmm.
Technically legal, but, you know, there I was into my 6th month with the baby dying inside of me. And I said, there is no way. There are women who have the fortitude and they make the choice to deliver the dead fetus, go through labor. And I couldn't do that. Thank God I had the option to have this abortion because I don't know that I could have held on to my sanity if I had done it the other way.
So, God, I can imagine. Yeah. So
after my very long reproductive career, you know, abortion saved me 3 times, and I am in favor of reproductive justice for all women. And, you know, I mean, we have to talk about the fact that many women would not have had the options that I had, right?
Right.
But so in 1994, a group of Black women took out an ad in the Washington Post, and they basically, you know, had got together. They called themselves Women of African Descent for Reproductive Justice, and they said, we really need like an intersectional approach to women's health care, and they drafted a statement, and they addressed it to members of Congress. They got more than 800 signatures, and then they published the statement in this full ad in 1994 in the Washington Post. And they basically said, you know, reproductive freedom is a life and death issue for many Black women, and it deserves as much attention as other forms of freedom. That was what the statement said, right? Mm-hmm. So they were saying, look, we need healthcare reform to provide funding, you know, for the full range of reproductive services, prenatal care, contraception screening, you know, cancer treatment, STD screening, HIV and AIDS screening and support, and also for abortion, right? So it was like saying healthcare has to be anti-discriminatory. There have to be provisions. So these women in 1994, these Black women coined the term reproductive justice, and they often we use that term and we don't credit this group of women, but wow, like abortion is ultimately, this is such a timely moment to talk about it because look, Whitney, if abortion were illegal, privileged white women would basically, if it were illegal in the United States, you know, and you said, I need an abortion. I said, well, I would say like, let's go to Canada. let's go where we need to go to get you one, right? But mm-hmm. obviously, when, you know, GOP legislators go after abortion rights, let's face it, they're attacking the freedom of Black women and women of color very, you know, asymmetrically. These are the women who really stand to suffer the most, especially in these southern poverty states, right?
No question. I mean, it, like, the lack of access to abortion care, obviously, like, really, it harms those who are struggling financially, who already have, like, significant barriers to health care, you know, people of color, limited incomes. Like, it's just, it's so crazy to me, you know? It's really heartbreaking.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you did, it would help us a lot if you would leave a review.
Yeah, leave a review, subscribe. We want to know how you guys felt about the episode. It really helps us out a lot to continue the success of the podcast and keep spreading our message.